remember when we were all young broadcasters on WGA. The big scary veterans would be around us. Oh, he's a good guy. A big, big, great future ahead of him here at WGA. Time for the Week in Theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago is what we cover every week at this time. And joining us on the phone line right now is our pal Filippo Tempa, who you read in the Northwest Indiana newspapers, giving us theater reviews and much more. Phil, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Dean.
So give me the official publication for which you write.
You're right. Your Northwest Indiana newspapers. The Post Tribune is the anchor newspaper. It's, of course, part of the umbrella that is the Chicago Tribune Media Group. But my stuff will be in the South Bend Tribune far to the east sometimes as well. So you've got it covered.
Yeah, well, I love that, people always say, we don't cover theater that's, on the south side, that's in Northwest Indiana. It's a big part of the Chicago metropolitan area. That's why I like to have you on, to make sure that, you also cover theater for the entire Chicago area, but also focus on theaters like the Theater at the Center in Munster.
That's
and
right.
Some of the other theaters out in that area. So,
especially for Swanee and yourself this morning. Last night at the Lyric for the opening of Louisa Miller, and jam-packed on the edge of the seat, everything from Dissension to Poison. So there's something to be said that opera does have all of its moments in the spotlight.
I have to learn more about opera. No way around it.
Yeah, sorry, you're due. But Bugs Bunny has done a good primer for you, so I think we're close. I'm in that category as well.
Yeah, sadly, I'm very proud of that too. By the way,
I am too.
So here's the interesting thing: in addition to being involved in the theater scene, Phil has also written a cookbook. Another cookbook on top of it. So we get our theater segment and our food segment all rolled into one today.
That's right.
So let me start off with this cookbook that you've got out. This is a book that has been a long time coming. This is actually your fourth cookbook, but it's kind of a compilation of different recipes, right?
It is. It's that weekly column that I do. I've done for the last 15, 16 years, called From the Farm, because, of course, as your listeners and readers will be familiar with, I come from a farm in the middle of Indiana, Peppermint Farm in Stark County, so about 30 minutes south of Valparaiso, and that farm column is kind of a folksy visit over the fence type of a thing. Sometimes some famous names will creep in there, like the names that you cross paths with in your interviews, and so this book is the next 5 years of those compiled columns that go from 2010 up to 2015. So it's a pretty good sized book, about 600 pages with recipes and story columns about the origins of these recipes. So all the things that you talk about, Dean, recipe with a story, it makes it even more appetizing.
Yeah, those are my favorite kind of books, by the way. Ones that are more than just lists of ingredients, where there are interesting and warm stories that go along with these. And I'm here to tell you that when Phil says that he's from a farm, he's not kidding. A few years ago, we had him on the show as a guest in studio at the old Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And he walks in with a bushel of produce that was literally just picked at his family farm. And he brought me in asparagus and all kinds of stuff that I enjoyed for the rest of the week.
Yes, that's so true. And that photo captured, because how often do you see a big bushel of baskets there in the Showcase studio?
That's right.
It's chronicled in color with you and my folks standing there in this new cookbook in the color photo. So I'm so pleased that you're a part of this book, Dean, as your family.
Oh, I appreciate that. And it was so delightful to meet your parents that morning also. Give us a little sampling of a couple of the recipes. What are some of your favorites that are in this new book?
Again, the ones that have the unique stories are the favorite. And I should say the book is up at Amazon. It's at BarnesandNoble.com. And then, of course, I've got a stage show and book launch coming up. But the stories that are really connected, they have something that make you scratch your head and say, I didn't know that. There's one section in there about, I don't know if you're old enough to remember these. I barely remember them. But the old Howard Johnson restaurants and lodges. And they were famous for their clam strips and their clam chowder. So there's the history of Howard Johnson's, as well as that original recipe for the clam chowder that I got from Chef Jacques Pepin when he was with Julia Child at Marshall Field. This is a long time ago. But recipes like that that have a story that you can connect with. And, of course, folksy family things. You have your Greek heritage. I have my Polish heritage. My mom's stuffed cabbage rolls have been a long time in coming, so that's featured in there. And then the wonderful Florence Henderson, who I know you've probably crossed paths with a lot more sure. than I did, but I interviewed her once at the old Drury Lane Evergreen Park on the south side and struck up a friendship basically from some shared friends like Phyllis Diller and Jim Neighbors, who helped with those previous books. And she had passed away, of course, a couple of years ago in 2016, but she wrote the foreword and a special chapter of this book because she has Indiana roots, born and raised on a farm in Indiana, much like myself. So it's got a little something for everybody.
Don't you also have an Orion Samuelson recipe that's right. in the new book? A couple of recipes, I think.
Pork and beans. And, you know, I think pork and beans, but trust me, Orion is good farm stock. And once you've had his, you'll never open up a can again. I'm guaranteeing you, Dean. And a delicious grilled pork roast. So I know he talks about him, his wife and Gloria, always going to Jameson's Steakhouse, but they do cook at home because I have the recipes that prove it.
So what's in the pork and beans recipe? Is he cutting up and rendering his own fat?
Yes. That pork belly is a big part of it.
Right.
Because that's where all the flavor is. So we'll call it, I love what they say, it's the drippings from the meat. Nobody ever says fat or grease. We say drippings, and that's the kind way of putting it.
Right.
But that's where all the flavor is. So, again, and then, of course, cook it for 100 million hours, it would seem like. And, wow, that's what you want to take to your next family potluck or gathering.
Yeah, boy, nobody makes pork and beans from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So this is some great recipes. Anyway, there's all kinds of recipes that are in the book. Plus, Phil is going to be doing a kind of a kickoff for the book at Theater at the Center in Munster on Sunday, October 27th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Is that right?
Exactly. And anybody might say, well, first of all, you don't see many stage cooking shows anymore, but 7 recipes, one from each of these chapters, whipped up in less than 2 hours with samples and lots of prizes and giveaways. And it's really kind of almost a game show kind of atmosphere. So something kind of fun and relaxing that you will definitely be entertained. So the tickets are available at Theater at the Center if you call the box office at 219-836-3395. Of course, my home away from home, or just go online, let your fingers do the work at www.theaterwiththerethecenter.com.
All right, and the book's available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. 10:49, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. In our next half hour, remembering that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, we did our first breast cancer special in 1996. That's how long we've been focusing in on the fight against breast cancer here on our Sunday show. We'll get into that coming up right after a check of the news at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, Topo Tempa is with us, foodie and theater critic. Not only with a new cookbook that is out, but also covering the theater scene in Northwest Indiana. And Phil, let's talk about some of the things that you've seen. I know that The Color Purple, that's at the Drury Lane in Oakbrook, it's playing until November 3rd, is one of them. What can you tell us about it?
Well, and I know we've had some national tours that have come through, and those, of course, are fantastic. But this staging, this fresh, brand-new production that has talent from afar and talent right gathered from our own Chicago ranks is just phenomenal. And it's a story that, you know, you see it again and again, and you forget the important messages and the connections with family and relationships that continue on and on. And it goes quick. I know you and I have chatted in the past about this. When it first launched, it was Oprah Winfrey's The Color Purple, A Musical of Love. It had this long, long title. Now, we don't really mention the Oprah Winfrey part as much anymore, but it lives on in that story and that message that, you know, began also with the book and then the 1985 film, are taken to a whole new level when you see it on stage. So it's a real recommendation, and it continues at least for another week here to October the 20th. It continues into November, the beginning of November. So a good opportunity to get some tickets.
Yeah, the shows that are open right now are generally for a few more weeks because everyone's getting ready to put up their Christmas productions, holiday productions like Christmas Carol and Nutcracker Suite. Beauty and the Beast is going to be out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. I'm really,
love the Paramount.
Really looking forward to that. What else do we have? At the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire, they have the production of Something's Rotten that's playing right now.
Exactly. No, and this is one that when it came through town a couple years ago, it hadn't really been done, and I don't know of any regional production that has ever taken it on. And the folks up at Marriott do it really right when they tackle this kind of fun behind the scenes. And it's just a matter of thinking about what would happen if there were a struggling playwright, and I'm sure there were in their time, up against the rock star of all playwrights at that time during the Renaissance with William Shakespeare. And it's very funny, sort of think of a Spamalot spin on it. And Ross Lehman, who is just fantastic as a soothsayer, who's going to help advise what's the next big thing that will help this struggling playwright top everything that the Bard is doing. And he's just a little muddled, and so his recommendations don't quite fly, but what results is something that's very, very funny. And again, if you go up there, you won't be disappointed. It's kind of a theater insider thing, but I think any audience will love all the references to other classic musical and stage productions that are folded into this run.
Now, the Chicago Shakespeare Theater at Navy Pier has a production of The King's Speech that's going on. This is based on the Academy Award-winning motion picture, The King's Speech. This one you had some reservations about.
That's right. And, you know, as critics, you know, people will talk back and forth and columnists. And our mutual friend Chris Beyer, who, you know, long time with Time Out and also does now the Sun-Times and writes reviews, yeah, I certainly agree with him. He did not really care for it, found it kind of boring, and I thought the same thing. And, again, I was so looking forward to it. I wanted to see it. I love the story. I love the film. But it just did not seem to read on stage. It just felt very, very sluggish, and I just didn't find it very interesting and conveyed in a way that would be compelling. And, of course, it's a wonderful, compelling story based on the true actual factual events. So that's one, unfortunately, I feel like just didn't quite rise to the occasion.
Tell me, where do you think it failed? I mean, it's the story beautifully told in the motion picture, certainly, of the rise to the monarchy of King George in England during World War II, and whether or not he could handle being the king of England at that time, as Adolf Hitler was breathing down the neck of the country.
So true. And, you know, and I teach for a long time, a couple college classes and public speaking at Purdue Northwest, the satellite campus in Valpo University, my alma mater. And so I really should have just seized this and loved every moment, but I didn't think that really it came across that. That sounds kind of bad to say, but I didn't feel like the moments of him struggling and frustrated with the stuttering problem, I didn't feel that came across. I didn't feel like there was any dynamic with his wife and the back and forth. The teacher who's going to correct him with the speech therapy, I felt like that also fell flat. It just didn't come together at all. Yeah, sometimes there's a hit and sometimes there's a miss, and right. This one is one that, as Chris said, it's his words. Maybe stick with watching the DVD, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes that happens. But it's anyway, you know, if people want to, I always encourage people, listen to the critics, you know, go make up your own mind. That's, you know, your opinion is just as valid. It's at the Shakespeare Theater at Navy Pier until October the 20th. And what else? What else
well,
can you recommend
right
now?
Right around the corner, and I bet you're excited about this too. Anybody that was out to Chicago Shakespeare over the summer saw their phenomenal, spectacle, splashy production of The Wizard of Oz. And I went to see it, and who do I see on stage but the First Lady of Chicago Theater, Hollis Resnick, as the Wicked Witch of the West, and having fun with that role and doing a couple performances a day, which is not an easy thing to do to stay on. And now she takes her turn opening this Tuesday in Sunset Boulevard with Porchlight Theater. I'm just so excited to see that opening and see what she does with that great role of Nora Desmond.
Yeah, this is a pretty big week for a theater, because in addition to that opening, Jane Eyre is opening at the Joffrey Ballet at the Auditorium Theater on the 16th.
Yes.
We talked with the actor who will place C.S. Lewis in An Evening with C.S. Lewis at the Broadway Playhouse. That opens on October the 22nd. And the hilarious John Leguizamo is bringing his show, Latin History for Morons. Steve Cochran and I are thinking of suing him for using the moron slogan.
That thing.
That's right. We I don't think we ever got around to copywriting it, so we may not have a leg to stand on in court. But Latin History for Morons is the name of his show, and that's going to be at the Cadillac Palace Theater October 29th through November 3rd. So,
and you know, Dean, I tune in all the time and listen to you, and I just chuckle so much when I hear you and Steve talking about last week at the AIDS run. You said there were people shouting, "Hey, moron, yeah, hey, moron." I just
happens all the time.
I love it. It
happens all the time. We couldn't be more honored. Phil, it's great to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Phil's book is out right now, and if I was a little quicker with my notes, I could find the name of your book. Why don't you just tell me what it is?
It's Back from the Farm: Family Recipes and Memories of a Lifetime. So it's part of that From the Farm series, and again, it's available everywhere. And I hope I see a lot of folks come out for that big cooking launch party at Theater at the Center on October the 27th. We'll be happy to see familiar faces out there in the audience and new faces and new friends to meet as well.
All right, Phil, have a great Sunday. Thank you.